and I headed toward Buxton, where Vivian's house was just a couple blocks off Pamlico Sound. Bree answered the door with a smile.
Finley! Hi, Aunt Bree.
The two hugged, and I shut the door behind me so the cool air didn't escape. The Beach Boys blared from the speakers, and Claire danced her way in, singing about California girls. I had to laugh. She really hadn't changed that much since college.
Finn!
Claire stopped dancing and raced over, sweeping Finn into a hug.
Are you ready for the best 4th of July ever?
Finley nodded.
Yes, I brought cookies.
She lifted the Ziploc bag that Morgan had given her.
Morgan made them.
Claire's smile didn't falter, but the happiness dimmed in her eyes.
Well, I bet they're just sweet as can be. Come on, Finn, let's go find Grandma.
Bree took her hand and off they went.
Her hair looks great,
Claire said softly. It really does, I agreed, not wanting to draw any more blood than the cookies had.
Morgan?
She questioned with a wince. Yeah, but if it makes you feel any better, she has Juno. Claire's eyes widened.
That cat is the devil.
Incarnate, and yet our daughter doesn't agree. Finley appeared through the window, dancing across the deck with Bree, and we both smiled. It was the least antagonistic moment I'd had with Claire since she came home nearly 2 months ago. 2 months. It was the longest she'd ever stayed. She hadn't followed through on her threat to file for custody, but my lawyer had all my paperwork lined up just in case she changed her mind. I wasn't losing Finley. How did that audition go? I asked. The one you had for that sci-fi show? Claire blinked up at me in surprise, looking so much like Finn did when I caught her sneaking candy that I almost laughed.
How did you know?
Redhead, 11 o'clock. I gestured to the windows.
Oh, right. I was going to tell you if I got it. I even asked the director about a commute-friendly schedule between here and L.A. for filming so I wouldn't have to mess with our arrangements for Finn.
She tucked her thumbs in her back pockets, the same nervous tell she'd had in college. I think that would be great. I meant it. If there was a way for Claire to have her career and Finley to have her mom, then I was all for it. And we could always adjust some stuff to make it work. Her eyes lit up.
Like maybe she could come to L.A. with me?
I stilled. Claire pressed her lips in a line and dropped her gaze.
Figured that would be your answer. Okay, I'll make sure I can commute for the next one. I didn't get that one.
I'm sorry. She shrugged.
Happens. Besides, it gives me more time to house hunt. I need to find something local because my mom is killing me.
Relief socked me in the gut. I can give you the number of the realtor I used. House hunting meant she was serious about sticking around for Finn. This wasn't just a whim that would pass now that she realized how serious I was about Morgan.
That would be awesome. Now I'd better go save Finley before she picks up any of Bree's dance moves. Have a happy 4th, Jax.
You too, Claire. We did the awkward nod thing, and I took off. It took all of 10 minutes to get to the station, and I hummed my way through the door. Did it suck that I had to work instead of taking my girls to the fireworks? Absolutely. But Claire had quit the vindictive witch routine around Morgan and was settling in, which made Finley happier than I'd ever seen her, and I was madly in love with an incredible woman who I had every intention of keeping for the rest of my life. Not that I was saying that to her. Maybe once she admitted that she loved me. But until then, I'd keep my name-changing plans to myself and work on making her so blissfully happy that she'd be just as addicted to me as I was to her. I put my stuff in my locker and glanced at the calendar. The guys left in 10 days. Fuck. I hated that they were going without me, but staying with Finley was more important than feeling like I'd contributed to the mission, right? Finley was my first mission, period. Being kept back, while shitty in some ways, was the biggest blessing I could have asked for, especially considering Morgan triggered every time someone said the D word around her. Hopefully she'd relax about it once the guys were home, and as much as she rolled her eyes at Sawyer and Garrett, I knew she'd miss them, too. Montgomery, Captain wants to see you, Javier announced from the doorway. Okay. No doubt I was about to get a rash of shit for that little maneuver I'd pulled with the ski boat last week, but hey, everyone had come out alive. I passed Garrett in the hallway and thrust a bag of cookies in his direction. Morgan made them, and she wants you to share.
Do I have to?
He questioned, already reaching inside for one. Unless you want me to tell her that you didn't. I raised my eyebrows. He paused mid-bite. I'll share, he promised with his mouth full. Good boy. I gave his shoulder a healthy slap, then walked the rest of the way to Captain Patterson's office. The door was closed, so I gave it a healthy knock. Come in. I opened the heavy door and walked in. You wanted to see me, sir? Captain Patterson looked up from his paperwork and nodded, then removed his glasses to rub the skin between his eyes. For a man who never seemed to tire, he suddenly looked exhausted.
Good to see you, Lieutenant Montgomery. Why don't you have a seat?
He motioned to the chairs. I closed the door, which revealed Hastings in the furthermost one, his casted leg propped up on an upside-down trash can. Hey, how's it feeling? I asked, sinking into the chair next to him. He didn't answer or look at me, just stared straight ahead at Captain Patterson with a tick in his jaw. Guy must have gotten some news he didn't want, because I'd never seen him quietly pissed like this before. Captain Patterson slid his glasses back over his dark brown eyes and leveled a pitying look on me that turned my stomach. Oh, fuck.
Jax, we need to talk.
Chapter 23. Morgan. And I know I'm going to make it, because who the hell is good enough to shoot me out of the sky, right? Like I said yesterday, flying is flying no matter where you do it. I cranked the ignition, and the engine turned over with a throaty purr I recognized all too well. Homework assignment complete for the third day in a row. You sure about this? Sam asked from the passenger seat. I slid my hands down the steering wheel and inhaled the scent of leather into my lungs. I don't know if I can be what you want or what you need. There are parts of me that are permanently broken, and I don't know if they'll ever work quite right. The only thing I do know is that I'm never going to stop wondering about the what-ifs if we don't give this a shot. Because it's been 6 months, and I swear I can still taste that kiss, Morgan. Morgan, are you sure you want to do this? Sam asked again. I blinked my way out of the memory and glanced up at the wings he'd left pinned to the visor. Nope, I'm not sure, I answered Sam as honestly as I could. Okay, well, let's be certain before you put this monster in drive, because I might love you, but I'm not willing to die because you think you're ready to skip ahead in your homework and joyride. She sent me an eyebrow raise that told me she was serious. I have 4 months until I see my husband, and I intend on being there when he gets off that plane. Her voice caught with those last words, and my hand reached for hers. Last night had been rough. There had been reports of an Apache crash in Afghanistan, and while the media had reported all the facts but the names, the soldiers had been on blackout, all internet and phone services shut down, so those names wouldn't be leaked until the next of kin could be notified. That meant hours of waiting, staring at our phones, staring at our door. The crash hit the news around noon. Grayson didn't get a chance to call until 2 a.m. You're so much stronger than I am, I squeezed her hand. She scoffed and blew off the compliment. I haven't been through what you have, not in the same way. I don't know how Ember and Paisley ever let those boys fly after what happened. I have no clue. They were stronger than I was, too, all of them. But I was getting stronger, every day. You're really okay after last night? Yeah, I'm just heartbroken for those aviators and their families. Me too. We may not have gotten the knock at our door, but someone had. She forced a smile, but there was zero joy. But I don't want to think about it, so I'm not going to. Besides, we're sitting in here for you. So I can constantly lay out my emotional baggage, but you don't have to? I lifted my eyebrows as I teased her. I'm not here for my emotional baggage. I'm here for yours. Now, why don't you tell me how it feels having started this truck? She gestured to the dash, and I smiled faintly as sunlight kissed her diamond and threw tiny dots of rainbows all through the cab. I still hear him, I admitted quietly. It's less and less these days, but whenever I'm in here, I swear I can hear him sitting right next to me. Do you think that will ever go away? Do you want it to? I don't know. I ran my fingers over the soft, supple leather of the console that separated my seat from Sam's. Will's seat from mine. In some ways, yes, because maybe that means I'm healing. Plus, I'd really like to not have an anxiety attack every time I get in this thing, and I know I'll never sell it. That would be like selling Will's memory. But I'm terrified that one day I'll stop hearing him, and then I'll forget the sound of his voice, his laugh, then I'll start forgetting him, and I don't want that either. How did I make more room for Jackson in my heart without losing Will? That's understandable, Sam said, pivoting in her seat so she could look straight at me. Do you want to drive? I felt my throat tighten, but it wasn't as severe as it had been. Not today. She sagged in obvious relief. I wouldn't want to take a ride in a vehicle that gave the driver anxiety attacks either. You're doing great, you know. The therapy, the homework, all of it. The tapes are sounding better and better, and you even made it through that hotspot thing with the funeral memory tape, though I don't know any other woman in her 20s who would reward herself with Virginia Woolf. Hey now, don't mock the classics. I looked over my shoulder to the cab, half expecting to see Will's helmet bag and flight gear. But it was empty, of course. I couldn't have done it without you, Sam, and I know you're headed home in a couple weeks, but I'm immeasurably grateful that you've stayed with me. She smiled. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I looked over to Jackson's house, then checked the clock on the dash. He usually napped the day he transitioned back to day shift, which meant he should be waking up soon. My pulse jumped with anticipation. It's okay to love him, Sam said gently. It doesn't mean you loved Will any less, or that you're replacing him. He would want you to be happy. That's the thing. I'm usually happy around Jackson, when he's not scaring the shit out of me and racing off to fly in a storm. My hand closed around the sea glass pendant, as if I could hold him by proxy, and my forehead puckered. There were very few times I'd been happy around Will. Sure, there had been nights like the ball and when he'd shown up at my house, but the angst definitely ruled the bulk of our relationship. They're so different from each other. Night and day, she agreed, and that's okay. You don't have to compare them. It's not like you have to make a choice. A choice? Between Will and Jackson? No, thank you. She scoffed. Girl, I said you don't have to make a choice. I rolled my eyes and took another deep breath, searching my body for the usual signs that I was at my limit. No anxiety attack. No anxiety attack, she agreed. Look at you, getting all healthy and stuff. Let's get out of here. Maybe I'll drive tomorrow. How much of that anxiety medication do you have? She questioned. What? For acute attacks? I asked. I haven't taken rescue meds in... I tried to think. God, it's been over a month now. Right. I didn't say they were for you. They're for me riding along with you in this thing. She lifted her eyebrows. Our eyes locked and we laughed. I still had a smile on my face as we climbed the steps to my house. I loved my little mushroom-shaped home. The teal paint, the white trim, the new, stronger decking. It felt like a stranger who had slowly become my best friend. My very expensive best friend. The remodel was just about finished. The two other bedrooms upstairs needed to be gutted and redone. But I'd do that after Sam left, so she wasn't inconvenienced. The whole house generator had been ordered, and Steve was due to start the demo on the master bathroom next week. I was finally going to have a bench in my shower so I could shave my legs without twisting myself into knots like the newest cast member of Cirque du Soleil. A bench where Jackson could sit while I straddled his lap. Speak of the devil, why was Jackson's Land Cruiser pulling in his driveway? We stood on the deck and he parked in the garage. Hey, stranger, I called out as he appeared, swinging a little paper bag. He startled. What are you doing up there? Sam leaned on the railing. We've just been sitting here all day in the hopes that you'd pull up. And look, here you are. My shoulders shook with laughter as he crossed our yard, but it died when he looked up at me and climbed the stairs. He looked drained and tense. His cheeks were rough with a shift's worth of stubble, and his eyes were bloodshot. Something was off. Are you okay? I asked as he made it to the top. Yeah. No. I'm not sure. Can I have a second with you? He held out his hand for mine. I laced our fingers and nodded, then took him inside. I'll give you guys some time, Sam said, picking up on the vibe. She disappeared upstairs, and I led Jackson to the kitchen, where I sat him down on one of the new bar stools that matched my white and gray theme. He put the bag on the counter where it promptly fell over, but he didn't ride it. He was too busy watching me like I was the one acting odd around here. I grabbed him a bottle of water from my refrigerator, then unscrewed the top and put it in front of him. Thank you. You look like shit, he suggested with a smirk. It's impossible for you to look like shit, but you do need a nap. Why didn't you go to sleep when you got off this morning? Where the hell had he been all this time? I needed to grab something I'd ordered last week, and then I just kind of drove. He picked up the bottle and downed half of it. Did something happen? Could you not sleep? Oh God, was Claire threatening a custody suit again? I stepped between his outstretched thighs and braced my hands on his shoulders. Tell me what has you worried. He studied me like he'd never seen me before. You're beautiful. He threaded his hand through my hair and palmed my waist with the other, then pulled me closer. Kiss me, kitty. Now that was something I could do. I fit my mouth to his like so many times before and kissed him slow and deep, winding my arms around his neck. The world and its problems faded into the hazy background, leaving only Jackson and the way he made me feel. He changed the tempo with deft flicks of his tongue, and the kiss turned hungry and urgent, desperate, even. By the time we broke apart, our breaths were ragged. My pulse raced, and my lips felt swollen. Never in my life had I been with a man who could erase the world in a single kiss the way he could. The power Jackson held over me was terrifying, but I knew he'd never use it against me. He loved me, and I adored him. I was addicted to him. My heart leaped for him, and my soul felt whole when I was in his arms. Need, infatuation, connection, those were all things I felt for him, but loving him. That was an emotion, a power I wasn't sure I was capable of giving anyone else again. Love was a gift, I knew that. I felt it every time Jackson gave me those words. But loving someone else gave them the power to obliterate you. I brought you a present, he said against my neck, pressing his lips to that sensitive spot beneath my ear. The scruff on his face was a delicious contrast to his soft lips. Does this present involve getting me naked? Because although I could be absolutely in favor of it, Sam's upstairs. I tilted my head to give him better access. It's in the bag. He lifted his head, and I nearly groaned at the loss. The thing about finally having Jackson was that I never felt entirely satiated. I wanted more and more of him. Don't look at me like that. Or we'll be at my place in 30 seconds, and there's something we have to talk about first. I pouted. It was childish, and I didn't care. Fine. We talk, then we go to your place. Open your present. He flashed me a grin that nearly took my panties clean off and pushed the little brown bag my way. I slid the box from its bag, lifted the lid, and unwrapped the delicate layers of tissue paper. Mercy. This book was incredible. In simple block text, the words night and day stood out where they'd been embossed in rich, dark leather. It was cracked and worn in places, and though it had been protected in a clear library jacket, it was easy to see that it had passed through many hands over the course of many years to find its way here. Jackson, is this? I didn't want to open the cover. Didn't want to even think it might be. A first edition. Yeah, but don't worry. It wasn't as expensive as you'd think. I didn't dip into Finley's college fund or anything. His eyes were bright with the simple joy of making me happy, but this was anything but simple. It was a gift chosen with such thought and care that tears prickled my eyes and my chest expanded with a glow I was sure had to be visible. Oh, my heart, do not fall in love with this man. Don't fall, or don't admit it. My stomach twisted and did its own falling. His eyes dimmed. Kitty, if you don't like it, I can return it. What? I blinked myself free of my thoughts. Oh, no, Jackson, this is exquisite. Not just that you found a copy, but it's the only one I haven't read yet. I flipped the cover, and sure enough, there was the publication date, 1919. He flashed a smile. I knew you were on a Virginia Woolf kick, and checked your shelves. I figured it was a fitting present since you finished therapy in what? 3 more sessions? 2? I said softly. My grief had been at a 9, mostly because I refused to use my 10 when we'd begun, and last week's session had it rated a 3. 3. It hadn't even seemed possible when we'd started, and sure, I still had my triggers, but Dr. Searcy said there was a chance those might never go away. There were some things that simply couldn't be fixed, but they sure could be avoided. Well, now you have the last Virginia Woolf book to read as your reward. I carefully wrapped the book and put it back in the box to protect it. You are incredible, Jackson. Thank you. I kissed him. You might not think so in a few minutes, so I'll take it. My brow furrowed. Why? He shifted his attention to the box. How are you going to read it in the box? I blinked. I'm not. I'm going to buy one of those airtight display cases and protect it like the piece of art it is. His gaze whipped back to mine. What's the point of having it if you don't read it? What's the point of having a first edition, priceless book if you don't protect it? I countered with a grin. You are an astounding woman. And I love you. He shook his head, and the atmosphere in the room shifted as he took a deep breath. When his eyes met mine, there was a plea in them that I didn't understand, and I wasn't sure I wanted to. There's no easy way to say this. I have to take a trip. Okay. I sat on the nearest stool and faced him so our knees touched. Are we talking a few days or a week? A few months. The world tilted on its axis. I don't understand. He leaned toward me and took my hand. Hastings' leg isn't going to heal in time. He isn't cleared to go. He's livid, but there's nothing he can do. Go where? My pulse skittered and nausea threatened to bring my lunch back up. It's basically a 3-month vacation when you think about it. Just a rotation. His voice was level and calm, but his eyes weren't. Jackson, I warned. Half answers are bullshit. He flinched. You're right. Okay. I have to deploy with the unit. The edges of my vision blurred, and his words all jumbled together. I wish we had better time in, but I have to deploy. My heart beat like a bass drum. It's just 3 months, Kitty, that's all. 3 months and I'm back. 3 months, and then we have forever. I mean, how hard could it be for us to wait 9 months, considering how long we've been dancing around this? It was impossible to blink free of his voice. Couldn't shove the memory back in the cassette tape and store it like I'd been taught by Dr. Searcy. I ripped my hand from Jackson's and pressed my fingers to my temples. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Shit, babe, I can't imagine how this sounds to you. But it's nothing like what you're thinking. Jackson reached for me, but I leaned away from his touch. I'm just going somewhere else to do the same job I do here. That's all. Just flying. It won't be that bad, so I don't want you to worry, which I know you will anyway, but flying is flying no matter where you do it. I slammed my eyes shut and tried to steady my breathing. This wasn't happening. It wasn't possible. Morgan, honey. You said you couldn't go! I shouted, the sound echoing off the tile floors. You told me that because of Finley. You couldn't go. When he reached for me again, I slid off my stool and stumbled backward until my back hit the island. No, Kitty. There was so much pain in his eyes. I said that I had a family care plan. But the captain decided to leave me behind because of Finley. It was a decision made for both the needs of the unit and compassion. Being a single parent doesn't get you out of deployments. That fucking word was the bane of my existence. I gripped the edge of the counter to stay upright. And Captain Patterson knows Claire is back, so I'm not parenting by myself. The entire reason I was being left behind no longer exists. His jaw ticked, and I knew there were parts of that conversation he was leaving out. But if Hastings can't fly, God, there had to be a way out of this, right? I couldn't do this again. It wasn't even in the realm of possibility. Jackson rose from the stool, but stayed a couple feet away. The guys from Elizabethtown will cover it. We're just an offshoot of them, anyway. Something soft twined between my ankles. Juno, have you told Finley? Jackson shook his head and smashed his lips in a flat line. I told you first. He took the bottle of water from the counter and slammed the rest of it back, then crushed it in his fist. I can't imagine what you're thinking right now.
I can't.
My breaths came faster, like a steaming locomotive gained speed as it left the station. It has to feel just like, no, I shouted, pointing my finger at him. No! I couldn't stay here, couldn't think, couldn't catch my breath, couldn't slow my heart. I couldn't do this, not any of it. Okay. He laced his fingers on the top of his head and took a calming breath. Let's look at this logically.
Fuck your logic!
A lump grew in my throat. No, no, no. It's just search and rescue, baby. It simply happens to be a rotation at an air station in the Caribbean, so we're on hand for hurricane season. It's more like a 3-month TDY than it is a deployment.
Fuck that word. Fuck all of this.
The stitches I'd sewn meticulously into my heart began to pop one by one. This isn't like him, Jackson said so softly that I almost didn't hear it.
I'm sorry,
I snapped, arching my neck slightly to dislodge the damn lump. My deployment is nothing like Will's.
We are not talking about Will.
He was already in my damned head as it was. Kitty, we have to be able to talk about him, especially with this.
He's not...
I sucked in a breath and rolled my head, but the lump wasn't going anywhere. It was growing.
He's not in this conversation. Because if he was, I couldn't be. Deployment. I couldn't do another one. Couldn't get that news again. God, I could still feel the gum-like texture of the strawberry jam on my shoes.
Jackson took a step toward me, and I moved again, heading straight into my kitchen. He couldn't touch me. He took every ounce of logic the minute his hands were on me, and I had to be able to think. I had to survive. Baby, he's in every conversation when it comes to my job. My gaze snapped to his, and my hand stilled on the handle to the refrigerator. He may as well be standing in this room. He gestured between our bodies, right here in between us. There was such care, such compassion in his gaze. Otherwise, I might have started throwing things at him. Didn't he know how hard I was trying to keep that from happening? My throat constricted, and I ripped open the refrigerator door, grabbed the pitcher of sweet tea, and drank straight from the glass. I gulped and swallowed, but nothing would shake that lump. The tightness that I refused to believe was the harbinger of what I'd been working myself to the emotional bone to get rid of. I slammed the refrigerator door and put the pitcher on the counter.
I can't do this!
I shook my head to emphasize my point. He winced. We can do this. It's 3 months.
No.
There. How is that for setting my emotional boundaries?
Morgan, you're reacting out of fear. And I get it. I can't fathom how you must be feeling right now. And the fact that I'm even asking you to go through this again is...
His face crumpled and he looked away. I can't do this. It wasn't possible. I wouldn't just regress. I'd be on the fucking floor.
Baby,
He came for me and I slid right around him, making it to the entrance of the kitchen before he could stop me. Morgan, nothing is going to happen to me.
You don't know that! I screamed at the top of my lungs as I reached the foyer. You have no fucking clue what can happen. You just think you do.
I promised you that I'd never put a rescue above my own life, and I meant it. I'm the best SAR pilot on...
Oh, shut up! I shouted. You're the best? Funny, Will thought he was the best. Jagger and Josh? Yep, I've heard those words out of their mouths, too. You all think you're the best, until you fall out of the sky. Because when push comes to shove, you're not the gods you think you are. So don't you dare stand there and tell me that nothing is going to happen to you.
That drew him up short, and we faced off in the entrance hall. Throwing my head back, I stared at the lofted ceiling, praying for my throat to open, but it wouldn't. I was a little girl caught in the middle of a hungry boa constrictor. Tighter and tighter it drew, taking my air supply. Maybe we should sit down? I'm getting worried about you over here.
You're worried? I spat back. You're deploying. I'm the one you expect to sit here and wait and worry, and I'm not going to do it. Not again. No.
Kitty, please listen to me. I'm not going to a war zone. I'm going to the beach.
My heartbeat wasn't a bass drum anymore. It was a staccato snare, and my breaths came so fast that the room around me felt distant, but I forced my mind to work.
2012, 4 dead. 2010, 3 dead. 2008, 4 dead. 2004, 6 dead.
Fuck, he swore, low and soft. I know what happened with every single one of those crashes.
Coast Guard! Search and rescue crashes!
I added between gasping breaths as my back hit the wall.
You can't make me do this again. I won't. Not for you. Not for anyone.
My head buzzed. Kitty, he begged, and the agony in his eyes was more than I could stand.
Okay. Talking about this is putting you at risk, and I don't want...
Ha! Exactly.
I shouted at him as my throat closed even tighter.
I won't be at risk. Not any more than usual. No one's going to be shooting at me, Morgan. It's not the same, baby. Please.
Shooting. Will. First the RPG that crashed Jagger. Then the next one that took down the medevac with Josh and Will on board. Then the small arms fire that hit Will in the sweet spot that wasn't covered by Kevlar. Even the best pilots weren't immune to bullets, right?
We had no control in fate. No control. None. People died. And he bled out right there in some dusty, rocky valley in Afghanistan, all because he'd been ordered to deploy. He was dead. And Jackson was deploying. Jackson, who had become my whole world. Jackson in that same helicopter. Jackson. Jackson.
Jackson was talking. What was he saying? Jackson was deploying, deploying, deploying.
Why had I let this happen again?
My past was repeating because I was too stupid to stop it. The jam was sticky. The shoes went into the trash. The necklace, the blues. The air ceased. Pain erupted so sharp, it stopped my hurricane of a brain. I concentrated on my neck muscles and visualized them opening. Air rushed through again, and I gasped.
Can you hear me?
His hands were on my shoulders.
You're having an anxiety attack. Let me get Sam and your rescue meds.
No!
Using them was defeat. It was a step backward and I was supposed to be moving forward.
I was at a 3. A 3!
Unless I was triggered. Deployment? Trigger. Jackson flying? Trigger. Jackson himself?
Sam!
I ripped out of his arms and slid down the wall. Once my butt hit the tile, I drew my knees to my chest. Breathe. Open your throat. It's in your mind, not your body.
What is going... Holy shit.
Thudding footsteps.
She's having an anxiety attack.
Jackson dropped to his knees before me. God, those eyes were so blue. Just like my sea glass. Blue, blue, blue. So beautiful. Of course I fell for him. And because I did, now he would go.
Okay, give me a second.
Just breathe, Kitty.
His voice was calm.
Why was he so calm? Why was he still here? Didn't he understand that I couldn't do this? My fingernails dug into my kneecaps. It's okay. He reached for me but thought better of it. God, I wish you'd let me hold you. Can I hold you? Just this once before I go? The next time I kiss you will be after this deployment. The vice around my throat squeezed. Move, Sam ordered. Jackson slid to the side. Here we go. Sam held a white oval pill and a bottle of water. No, I denied. Over. A month. Her eyes softened for a heartbeat, and then she was steel again. Yep. So this time we'll push for 2 months between. We set the goals we can attain, remember? She thrust the offering my way and waited for me to decide. She gave me power in a moment I had none. I swallowed the pill. It took half the bottle of water to get it down my throat, but it was in. A small brown paper bag appeared next. I grasped it with two hands, brought it to my face, and began breathing. There we go, Sam said softly. You just breathe and wait for the meds to kick in. What the hell did you do? That last part wasn't aimed at me. I'm deploying. Sam drew back and her wide eyes flew to mine, interrupted by my paper bag every few seconds as it expanded. Oh, Morgan.
It's not the same, Sam.
To her, it is. They both fell silent as I breathed like it was my full-time job. For the last 4 months, it had been. How had I only lived here for 4 months? Is that really how long I'd known Jackson? God, and I was already so far gone that I was breathing through a paper bag. This wouldn't be the only time he deployed. This was who he was. Slowly, my breathing returned to normal, and the buzzing faded in my head. My throat was still constricted, but that would pass once the meds kicked in. Not that it mattered, because I'd be asleep soon after that. I dropped the bag to the floor and sat with my head against the wall, arching my neck. You should go.
It's okay. I've got her, Sam,
Jackson said softly. No. I lowered my head and found him watching me, beautiful, kind, magnetic, head over heels in love with me, and a loaded freaking gun when it came to my mental health. You should go, Jackson. Morgan. His eyes flared. Go. This isn't going to get any better the more we talk about it. My heart screamed in protest. I need you to go. He warred with himself. With my words, it was all over his face.
Okay. I need to talk to Finn and Claire. Shit. Okay. I'll come by for breakfast tomorrow.
Quick cuts were better. I shook my head. No. I need you to go for good.
This is not over. This is... I don't know what this is because it's not a fight. This is a blip on the radar, Kitty.
Agony. That was the only way to describe the look in his eyes and the rending of those stitches in my heart. Sam stood and backed away, staying by the edge of the foyer. She never went far after I'd had an attack. This is over, I said softly. I won't do another deployment. I won't take another phone call. I won't bury another man. I snapped my mouth shut. God, when were the meds going to kick in?
Love, he accused. You love me.
I locked my jaw and dropped my gaze.
Fine. Well, I love you, even if you won't say it. And I'm not giving you up. It's only 3 months, Morgan. Nothing will change in 3 months.
Try 3 days, I whispered. I'm not ready for this. I'm not strong enough for this. I will not do this. Do you know what happens when no one chooses you?
Kitty, that's not what this is, he whispered.
You learn to choose yourself. And that's what I'm doing. I'm choosing me. I'm choosing no anxiety attacks, no deployment, no... My face crumpled and I fought the tears that stung my eyes. No me. His mouth tightened as he fought for emotional control. If you love me, you'll go. He flinched. You won't ask me to do this. You won't ask me to stay with you, knowing the cost is this happening to me every single day. You won't ask me to undo everything I fought so hard for.
Air flew freely through my throat, and the ache lessened.
Morgan, no, God, please.
He clenched his hands but didn't reach for me. One touch was all it would take to break my resolve, and I couldn't let that happen, not unless I wanted to dive right back into daily attacks, and if I had to go through another deployment, that's exactly where I'd be. Jackson, if you love me as much as you say you do, you will walk out that door and you won't come back. You'll let me heal. You'll let me go. Despair, conflict, anger, frustration, defeat. They all visited his face in the span of 30 seconds, some twice. I gripped my knees to keep from grabbing him as he stood. I locked my jaw to keep from begging him to stay. He walked to the door, and then through it, but turned around once he was on the deck. I love you more than any torture you could ever ask of me. So, if I love you enough to walk away, can't you love me enough to stay? The last stitches in my heart ripped free, and my damage bled out all over me. I never said I loved you. It was barely a whisper, but he heard it. Right. I guess you didn't. His expression would haunt my dreams for as long as I lived. Sam, close the door, I begged. The meds were kicking in, and while I could move, I was sluggish as hell, but at least the ache in my throat was fading. His face tightened, daring me to do it myself, but I couldn't. Morgan, this is... maybe take some time? She asked softly. I leveled her with a stare. Remember when you showed up at my house with a truckload of furniture and begged me not to tell Grayson where you were? Shit, her mouth tensed, and her gaze flew between Jackson and me. Please, shut the door. My voice broke, and my shoulders rose as the first sob racked through me. Jackson moved, heading my direction. But Sam was faster and shut the door before he got there. And because Sam never did anything half measure, the deadbolt followed. What was left of my pulverized heart shattered into so many pieces, it may as well have been sand. Sam sat and pulled me into her arms while I cried. "It's going to be okay," she whispered, even though we both knew it wasn't. So I did what I always did. Wiped my tears, lifted my chin, and waited for the pain to pass.
Chapter 24. Jackson. I finished packing my second duffel and placed it next to the first in my entryway. All I had left to do was pack my carry-on. Our flight left tomorrow afternoon. The last week had both flown immeasurably fast and dragged like hell. The time I spent with Finn disappeared in a heartbeat, and the moments I stood at my window and blatantly stared at Morgan's house, those seemed to last forever and hurt like hell. If you love me as much as you say you do, you will walk out that door and you won't come back. You'll let me heal. You'll let me go. Her words had played on repeat inside my head for the last 8 days. The sound of her sobs came in a close second. Her telling me that she'd never said she loved me, I blocked that out as much as possible. Every day I climbed her steps and left a single piece of sea glass next to the one I'd left the day before. She was amassing quite the little pile, and I was paying quite the bill to Christina since I didn't have much sea glass hunting time left. But unlike the last time I'd left daily reminders that I wasn't giving up, this time she hadn't accepted them. The situation wasn't hopeless, since she still lived next door, but it wasn't exactly hopeful either.
"You should take Philip," Finley said.
I turned away from the window to see the world's saddest little girl staring at me. I hoisted her up and sat her on my forearm so that we were eye level. "You think I should take a blind turtle on deployment?" She nodded solemnly. "Maybe I should have asked why you think I should take him." I tried to match her serious expression and failed.
"Cousteau is a fish. He can't go. Barnaby would escape, so he can't go. And Juno pees in your shoes."
She wrinkled her nose.
"But Philip would fit in your pocket."
She tapped the breast pocket of my button-down shirt.
"Not that one, of course. It's too small."
So I should take Philip because he can breathe without water. He's too slow to escape, and he won't pee in my shoes. I raised my eyebrows at her.
Yep, plus he fits in your pocket.
Her big brown eyes were almost impossible to deny, but in this case, I was going to have to hold out. I won't have a lot of time for pets, Finn. It's mostly flying and paperwork. Is there some other reason Philip needs to come? Her little lips pursed and she stared long and hard at the floor. Finley, I asked gently.
So you don't forget me?
There were no tears, thank God, but the misery in her eyes broke my heart, then trampled it. My chest constricted, but I managed not to lose my shit in front of her. Finn, sweetheart, there's no chance I could forget you. Zero. I don't need to carry Philip around when I have you right here. I took her hand and put it on top of my heart. Will it make you feel better if you hear the plan again? She nodded. You have a brand new phone. I made a jazz hand with the one that wasn't holding her and was rewarded by a tiny smile. Now what are the rules of this brand new phone, Finley Montgomery? Her eyebrows furrowed with concentration.
Only use it at home or at grandma's.
Correct.
Keep it charged.
You got it.
Answer when you call for video chat.
Bingo. Every day at 7 before school and every night before bed, as promised. You'll be so sick of my face you won't want me to come home. She giggled. Oh, sweet victory. And what happens if I have to go rescue people and can't make it to a call?
You'll send a text or call earlier or later.
There was a grin, too. And what happens to that phone when I get home? She twisted her puckered lips from side to side.
I have to give it back.
Yep. This phone is for deployment only, so consider it a perk. I tweaked her nose. But what is the number one rule of the deployment phone? I set my features as sternly as possible. She huffed out a sigh.
No calling boys.
That's right. No boys. None. Everyone you love besides Daddy is a girl anyway.
What about Uncle Sawyer?
She raised her brows. Well, she had me there. I might make an exception.
Will you put Morgan's number in too, just in case?
I can do that. Leave it to my brilliant little daughter to twist the knife. I didn't have the heart to tell her no, and I knew Morgan wouldn't want me to when it came to this. Finn had caught on that Morgan hadn't been around, but since I'd never outright told her we were together, I didn't think I needed to announce what might be the opposite now.
Thank you.
She threw her arms around my neck, and I held her tight, breathing in the scent of her strawberry shampoo. This deployment was going to suck on every fucking level possible. I love you, Finley. God, how was I going to leave her for 3 months? I hadn't been apart from her for more than 3 days since she was born.
Love you, Daddy.
She smacked a kiss on my cheek. Knock, knock, knock.
Maybe it's Morgan,
she exclaimed, wiggling down from my arms. She shot off like a bolt of lightning before I could tell her there was zero chance in hell Morgan was here. She'd even sent Juno back with Sam the day after she'd thrown me out.
Mommy!
Shit. I'd forgotten what time it was. I walked into the entry to see Claire hauling in a massive suitcase.
You still sure about this?
She asked as Finn took her purse. Sure that it's better for Finn if her routine is as close to normal as possible? Yes. You still promise to move out when I get back? She arched an eyebrow.
How about I promise to move out when you get back if you still want me to?
I tilted my head and blinked.
Okay, fine.
She rolled her eyes with a smile.
I promise. This is just the first one. I'll bring the others over tomorrow before you go.
Thank you. I've got all the feeding schedules up in the kitchen.
For Finley or the menagerie?
She joked. Yes, I answered. We both laughed, and it was awkward, but easier than it had been. Knock, knock. Sam stood behind the glass storm doors with a beach bag slung over her shoulder.
New girlfriend?
Claire asked. Don't start, I warned, keeping my voice level since Finley was here as I opened the door. Sam? Her gaze darted to Claire, then her suitcase, then me.
Bad time?
Not at all. Come on in. I stepped back and Sam walked straight through the entry to high-five Finley.
How's it going, Finn?
Hey, Sam.
She leaned around Sam and stared at the door, which served as another slice to my soul. Not that it mattered. It was pretty much death by a thousand tiny cuts around here right now.
Just me today, Sam said with enough perk that Finley's face fell only slightly. But she did bake you some cookies this morning.
She dug into her bag and produced a Ziploc full of chocolate chip cookies.
Really? Yay!
Finn took the cookies and disappeared toward the kitchen, still wearing Claire's purse. Cue the most awkward moment of my life.
How about I take Finn down to the water for...
Claire glanced between Sam and me.
A while? Text me when you're ready?
I nodded my thanks, and Claire ushered Finn and her cookies out the door.
Can we sit? Sam asked.
Sure. Once we were at the dining room table, Sam pulled out her phone, a laptop, and the small silver tape recorder that usually lived on Morgan's counter. Does she know you're here? Even asking was painful.
Hell no. She'd slaughter me for what I'm about to do, which means I'm trusting you to keep this between us. But, before we start, do you want to explain why your ex has her suitcase in your entry, or should I just jump to conclusions?
Her eyes narrowed slightly. Claire is moving in so Finley can stay in our home while I'm gone, I answered easily. We're not together. We're never going to be together again. I'm just trying to make it as easy as possible on my daughter. Sam studied me for a second, and then nodded, as if accepting my answer.
Okay, then. Because I'm not about to risk one of my closest friendships if you're already moving on. Get me?
I'm not moving on. I'm not exactly hopeful, but not moving on. I rested my elbows on the table. It's only 3 months, Sam. She threw me out and slaughtered me for 3 damned months.
Sam sighed. You're not wearing her glasses.
She doesn't wear glasses, I countered.
Not the kind of glasses I'm referring to, she rolled her eyes. When you think about this deployment, what's your first concern?
Easy. Who is taking care of Finley? Where is she staying? How do I keep connected to her? How do I make her feel secure and safe? Not that Morgan isn't a giant clusterfuck.
Nope. You're good. I get it. You see this deployment with your daddy glasses on, as you should. Being Finley's dad colors everything in this world, even Morgan. And you might flip your boyfriend lens on to a situation like you did when you came to tell her about the deployment, but no matter what, your daddy lens comes first. It's permanent.
Right. I can see that. It was true. Morgan's love for Finn only elevated my attraction to her.
You aren't using Morgan's glasses,
she said again, then set up the laptop.
Before you two got together, Morgan would watch this video every night before bed. Some nights she'd watch it 100 times.
She took a deep breath and muttered a prayer for forgiveness at my ceiling before she pressed play. The background was a white wall with a picture of a Black Hawk helicopter and the tops of chairs, a dining room table. Then he slid into the picture, and I was faced with Will Carter. He looked exactly like his pictures online, of course. Serious, clean-cut face, brown, wavy hair, brown eyes, and a delicate pair of aviation wings around his neck. Morgan's. A pang of jealousy hit me harder than I'd felt myself capable. Jesus, the guy was dead and I was growly. He still owned the heart of the woman I loved, and I couldn't even fight him for it. He sighed, then looked straight into the camera. Morgan Elise Bartley. He flashed a smile that transformed his features, but it faded quickly. God, I hope you never see this. I hope that I get home from this deployment and delete this file so I can tell all of this to you in person. And yeah, I just got back from your place last night. He smiled and looked away. But there's a lot I didn't say, because it wouldn't have been fair seeing that I asked you to wait around until I get home. Shit, just like I had. So yeah, I'm praying you never see this, but... He swallowed. But if something happens, and you do, then I want to make sure you know that you are the most infuriating, stubborn, button-pushing pain in the ass I've ever known. He nodded. My eyes flew wide. What the actual fuck?
They were always at each other's throats, Sam commented with a sad smile.
But you're also ridiculously smart and compassionate and loyal and so gorgeous that you make my teeth hurt when I look at you. There is nothing about me that deserves everything you bring to the table. He scoffed. I'm showing up empty-handed to this party,
And the most amazing thing about you is that you don't care. You just want me, and I can't figure out why, but I'm done fighting it. You want this mess? It's yours. Just enjoy your last 9 months of freedom. I mean, hopefully not too much or anything, because once I get home, we're doing this thing. And I know I'm going to make it, because who the hell is good enough to shoot me out of the sky, right? Like I said yesterday, flying is flying no matter where you do it. His grin turned cocky, and my stomach twisted. Fuck, he sounded just like I had. Shit, that's pretty much what I said to her. I cursed. I figured. Sam's face scrunched in pity. But in the interest of being prepared, let's do this. I took out a secondary life insurance policy this morning, and you're the beneficiary. And I know you're going to want to fight it, but please take the money. Use it. Don't just give it to charity or stick it in a bank account, Morgan. Spend it on something that brings you happiness. Use it to leave like you always planned. I just wish I was going with you. The video continued for about 15 minutes while he said goodbye to her, while he confessed the things he hadn't felt strong enough to say in person. Those 15 minutes transformed him from a two-dimensional ghost to a flesh-and-blood man who I might not hang with in real life, but I could respect. We were alike in minuscule ways, and complete opposites in the ones that really mattered. So I guess I'll see you later. And I'm hoping you come to the redeployment ceremony, because that's when it's all going to start for us. A slow smile spread over his face. And I'm gonna kiss you so hard that the last few years will have all been worth it. His eyebrows popped up. We should go to the Outer Banks for a whole week when I get back. Remember how much fun we had there? Maybe this time I'll actually get you off the beach and onto one of those surfboards. Yeah, I'll plan it all. And I guess now I have to delete this file when I get back, or it'll ruin the surprise. He sighed long and hard. See you later, Morgan. 9 months. He reached forward and killed the recording. So, that's Will, Sam said with a sigh, shutting the laptop and bringing over the tape recorder. I already knew that she loved him, but thank you for making him real. My voice was gruffer than I intended. If that night in Afghanistan had gone differently, maybe I still would have met Morgan, but she would have been a tourist wrapped around her boyfriend. I never would have had the chance to fall in love with her.
You're welcome. Now, you know that every week Morgan has to record the story of his death and listen to it, right?
So that's the tape recorder.
You got it. This is from this week.
She pressed play, and Morgan's sweet, clear drawl came through. She told the story from start to finish, then the funeral, without so much as a hiccup. There was pain, grief in her voice, but she was concise and in control.
That therapy sounds a lot like torture, I remarked as Sam hit stop.
It has been.
She slid her phone in front of her, swiped it open, and thumbed through her media.
Now listen, I only have this because I was an idiot and thought I was supposed to record it, but when you stand there all frustrated, preaching at her that you'll be fine and it's only 3 months of a beach vacation, this is what goes through her head.
She tapped her phone, and Morgan's voice came through again.
I'm in the grocery store.
Holy shit, she sounded broken. Every word was a struggle.
Picking out a jar of jam, and my phone rings.
She gasps, sucking in air.
It's Sam,
she cried with a sob. I braced my head in my hands as my eyes fluttered shut, like I could somehow block out her pain if I didn't see the fucking phone.
She...
Her breath was ragged.
I can't do this. I just can't. You can, Morgan. You just have to get through it once today. Go as far as you can.
A soothing voice sounded. That had to be her therapist.
Sam said that there was a crash.
Another pause.
And our friends are hurt. Have some water,
the therapist suggested.
Thank you.
Another pause.
And Will, he didn't make it.
Her sobs crushed my soul, my ego, my very foundation.
He's dead. He's only been there 3 days and he's gone.
She cried so hard my eyes burned. and when I glanced at Sam, she was swiping away her tears. "I can't listen to this," I snapped.
"If she could get through it, so can you,"
she retorted. I locked my jaw as my legs began to fidget, looking for any action I could take to lessen Morgan's pain.
And,
she sucked in a harsh breath.
"I drop the jar, and it shatters, but who cares? Will is dead. Will, my Will, and I can't breathe. How am I supposed to breathe?"
She screamed that last word, and I felt it reverberate in every cell of my body. The gasp she took was familiar, and I tensed every muscle in my body as I heard it.
"I can't. I can't. I can't."
The chant went on another 10 seconds before the therapist jumped in to help with the anxiety attack, and the tape stopped. Sam pocketed the phone and wiped her cheeks again. Defeated, drained, heartbroken. I couldn't put a finger on which emotion trumped the rest. "I love her," I whispered.
"Yeah, I know you do. And beneath all this that's swimming in her head, I think she loves you too. And you can be as mad as you want to be that she shut you out, as long as you understand that it has nothing to do with what she feels for you, and everything to do with self-preservation so she doesn't become her."
She lifted her phone.
"Again."
"So I'm just supposed to do what? Walk away from the woman I love?" I lifted my head. "Because that's not in my nature. What we have is something worth fighting for, and I'm climbing into the ring ready to take the punches. But she's already left the arena." Sam sighed and rubbed her forehead, then glanced at her wedding ring.
"The truth is, I'm torn. I honestly think she needs you just as much as you need her.
She shook her head and muttered something to Will.
"I think you're her match, but I also know that you are jumping up and down on the biggest trigger she has."
"I can't help it. If I could do anything about this, trust me, I would."
"I know that too."
She stood and put everything back in her bag.
"Which is why I'm telling you that it's not going to be enough for you to fight for her. You're going to have to fight her, too. And that might be more than you can take."
I got up to walk her to the door, then stared through the storm glass at Morgan's house. She was in there, right now, and I couldn't do a damn thing about it. Or could I? "I can take it," I told Sam. "Whatever she dishes out, I can take. Now, during the deployment, and after. I'm all in." She studied me, then nodded.
"Okay.
But how am I supposed to love her without triggering her right now? Because I don't want her on the ground for the next 3 months. I never wanted to hear the voice on that tape again."
"Just keep doing what you're doing. Show up, but don't force her hand. Morgan's the long game."
"No, Morgan's the end game." Sam chuckled, dug through her bag and pulled out a clear package with, "Are those knee pads? What the hell?" She pushed them into my chest.
"I was told by the guys that if you were willing to fight, you'd need these. It's basically your invitation to the boys' club. We'll back you up as much as we can."
She winced as I took the pads.
"And sorry about the door last week. I owe Morgan, and she called it in. Honestly, I'm only here because I remember those months without Grayson, and it would have been a lot easier if we'd just communicated."
I raised my eyebrows.
"I thought he was in love with his ex-comatose ex-girlfriend. Long story."
"Apparently."
"Be safe, Jax. She might have thrown you out, but all of that girl's happiness is wrapped up in you making it home. No matter how safe you think you're being, be safer. You understand?"
"I understand." She hugged me and walked out the front door.
"Oh, and Morgan has an appointment tomorrow to have some sea glass set in a bracelet?"
I blinked. "Okay."
"It's at Christina's at 11:30 a.m., which to my understanding is 5 hours before you're due to show at the hangar for deployment."
I grinned. "Thank you, Sam."
"Don't fuck this up, Jax."
I wasn't going to.
Chapter 25. Morgan. "These months are going to fly by, I promise.
and then it's you and me.
It would look good in platinum, Christina mused, laying out the small pieces of sea glass on her lightboard as we stood in the workroom at the back of her shop. Or gold, I suggested, fingering the pendant around my neck. Jax and I might be done, but it felt wrong to take it off.
It would definitely match your necklace, she said with a nod. You know, I just wanted to say that I'm really sorry Jax has to go.
I stilled.
Peter is so angry that they won't let him wait for an upslip there. He knows what this is costing you two, and we're both very sorry.
She squeezed my hand, trying and failing to neatly box the pain of losing Jax. I brought my eyes to hers. It's not your fault.
You two would still be together if Peter hadn't slipped on that deck. She bit her lower lip.
Christina, don't.
Whether it was this trip or the next, it was bound to happen. Getting out now just makes it hurt less than later. My smile was shaky and fake as hell, but she didn't call me on it.
Well, I still feel like shit about it. You two have something very real, and I love you both, so I'm hoping you'll forgive me.